I seriously did not expect and cannot believe how intense our trip to Hollywood Forever Cemetery ended up being.
I know, for so many reasons.
I can't wait to talk about it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 98.
Woo! 98, can you believe it?
I can't.
I can't hardly believe
it. I cannot.
I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet.
Obviously. And we created the Goddess Hangs podcast to make the world of mindset, manifestation, and magic more relatable
and fun.
And gosh darn it, I think we're doing a good job.
I think so too, lady.
This month has been a little bit less mindset and manifestation, but a lot of magic and a lot of magic. Creepy, crawly Halloween fun. So We have our fourth installment of Halloween with Goddess Hangs today.
Halloween with Goddess Hangs. We detour from our typical programming and we make it the most mystical, haunting month ever. And we wear a different costume every week. So, Sadie, describe to the listeners what you are wearing today.
Today, I am a sparkly disco cowgirl, and I've also brought my trusted steed, who is a purple unicorn. So I just envisioned, I was like, this is the kind of horse that I would ride in this outfit, would be a purple sparkly unicorn. And I decided her name is Daisy.
Oh,
my noble steed.
A prop.
So we have a prop today. And Juliet, what have you shown up to today?
Oh gosh, as? I know. Why did I say that? The tabloids are dying to know. So last night at about 2 in the morning, I thought, I need to pull a costume together for
tomorrow. While Sadie is fast asleep.
While Sadie has been asleep and has for been five so for hours. 4 hours. I'm up doing the most. And I remembered that I had found this box of fabrics on my street for free and that there was a big white piece in there. And I thought, I'll make a goddess toga and I'll wear my crown. So today I'm sort of channeling Hera a little bit, queen of the gods.
So cute. And I love that we both wore our crystal crowns.
I know.
For Halloween. Not me today, but I had mine on last week.
Mm-hmm.
So cute. I remember when finding the box of fabric was a new with me.
And look at us now.
And look at us now. Does anyone remember what episode that was? Yeah. If you can name it, we'll do something cool for you. That would be impressive. That would be very impressive. So before we dive in, this week's episode is really fun because we were on location.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to even choose where to go because Los Angeles has so many famously haunted spots.
Yes.
But we decided to go to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
We did.
We have lots of stories. Juliet, about halfway through that trip, realized a crazy connection she had to the cemetery.
Unbelievable.
So there was a surprise bonus, and we can't wait to tell you all of the juicy deets. But before we dive into that, Juliet, what's new with you?
Oh my gosh, I came prepared. Sometimes I just say, I don't know. What about you? Okay. Little ASMR of my paper. What's new with me? Okay, I wrote big feelings and more range in my feelings.
That's exciting.
And I think I know why.
Tell us more.
So in our Patreon community, in our special bestie Discord, a special goddess by the name of Ashley shared a particular supplement regimen she uses in conjunction with her antidepressants that has done like wonders for her.
Yeah.
In all sorts of ways. I was like, sign me up. So I ordered its maca and ashwagandha. And I'm feeling really good. I cried of joy like 3 times in the past week.
Wow, that's you sound unheard like me.
Of for me. That's unheard of for me. And
that's amazing.
I still felt balanced and centered. So this is not medical advice. Go see your doctor. But I'm just sharing what's new with me.
Definitely consult. But I also actually take these two herbs. I didn't know what they were for. They're just part of my Ayurvedic protocol. And it was funny because when she posted about them, my supplement has them combined into one capsule. Mm. And I didn't even think about that. I just thought it was like, I don't know, just the name of it is ashwamaca. And then she was saying, this is why I'm taking these. And I was like, oh, that's why I've been feeling different. And it was just really funny synchronicity. Yeah. So I also take it. I also think it's great. Yeah. So if you're interested in that, consult your own physician. But I love using herbs and, you know, natural stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah. I talk about it. I don't really cry often.
No. And
of joy. 3 times. So last weekend was a big weekend. So on Friday, we went to the cemetery, which we'll tell you all about. Mm-hmm. But it was very, you know, to just be surrounded by a lot of death.
I was exhausted. I was too. That. Yeah. I had like a real hangover from it.
It was exhausting. And it also made me realize how precious life is, mm-hmm. how much people love one another. Like, it was mm-hmm. just a lot of feelings. The following day, I attended a baby shower / reveal party to find out, you know, is it a girl or a boy? And I knew in my heart, because I had like really tapped in. I'm really good at guessing what a baby's going to be.
Do you think that might be because you're psychic?
It might be. It might be.
So it's like, I don't know what it is, but I'm really good at guessing.
I don't know. I'm 2 for 2 in the past week because there have been That's two amazing. Pregnancies. And I was like, oh, they're having a boy. Oh, they're having a girl.
I have a story about a psychic pregnancy thing, too.
Oh, my God.
It's not me, obviously.
Oh.
I'll tell you it in a minute.
Okay. I'm like, what's going on? So I was just like, there's no way this baby is coming out a boy. Like, I see the closet filled with the clothes and the bows. And of course, you can dress your kid however you want, regardless. But this was just the vision that I saw.
Yeah, spirit's very symbolic. So it would make it obvious. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm just, I felt like I had communicated with this spirit baby. And they were telling me about their personality and what their life was going to be and all these things. So the way that this baby shower reveal worked is, it was my friend Chelsea Hill, who we've had on the show.
Mm-hmm. An amazing episode.
Amazing. She's so inspiring. I'm really like in awe of her and what she stands for, what she's accomplished. Look her up. You'll find her just so endearing and amazing. And the way that she decided to do her reveal was, they hired a helicopter.
Yes.
To drop either pink or blue smoke Obsessed. Over the ocean from the sky. And I imagine this was, you know, chemically fine for the water. I don't know. It wasn't my party. But anyway, don't come for me. But it was so thrilling, like, because it circled 4 times.
Oh.
And the anticipation is building and building and building and building. And I had worn all pink. And more people, I would say 80% of the people there were all wearing blue. They all felt boy. She thought she was having a boy. When I showed up at her party, she's like, do you think it's a girl? She's like, I swear it's a boy. I was like, I don't know. I've been wrong. Like, I
She's like,
totally
oh no, the
wrong.
Psychic's wearing pink. I'm wrong.
Yeah, she was like, wait, what? I was like, oh, I don't know, whatever. The smoke comes out. It is bright pink. And I just lose it. Oh. I'm like, oh my goodness, I spoke to her. And, like, I lost. It was the biggest thrill I've felt in a long time. And it would have been thrilling if it was blue. Yeah. It would have been thrilling if it was purple. It was just thrilling. It was so exciting. So to go from a cemetery to like a new life coming.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, humans, as messed up as we can be, are so amazing, because when somebody passes away, we celebrate their life. We gather together. Mm-hmm. There's flowers. There's a meal. We honor them. We talk about them. All these things. And before somebody is even born, we celebrate. There's a meal. We gather. We talk about. Like, it's we're very precious creatures.
We are.
You know?
When you were talking to the little baby girl, was it like on the way to the party in the car you were feeling it? Was it when you were already there? Like, when did you feel like this information come in? I'm curious.
So it was kind of the week leading up to it, because I was really trying to tune in because I knew this event was coming. Mm-hmm. And I just felt, so here, I'm going to share my predictions for this child.
Okay.
and we'll see what happens. My sense is that, which everybody sort of felt because Chelsea's a dancer. My sense is that this child's going to dance, but I also feel like she's going to have some other talent beyond that, and she's going to be a little bit of like, I don't know if she's going to be a child actor or getting commercial. There's something about her.
Like entertainment.
She's very sparkly, very bold, very fiery, knows exactly who she is, knows exactly what she wants, is going to come into the world like that. And like star of the show, spotlight, center of attention. Like I just felt a lot of that. And when that pink came out, I felt this voice being like, told you so. Like there was a little bit of this like fieriness. I haven't even told this. There's a little bug. I haven't even told this to Chelsea, but I'll send her this episode. But I just felt her and just being like so full of life. I do feel a name, but I'm not going to say it. But it was just like wild. It was just wild. And everybody, I could like feel her. Obviously she's in the womb, but I could like feel her spirit's presence at this event. It was so trippy.
That's so cool.
It was magical. And the theme was teddy bears, so there were about 80 teddy bears, from the tiniest little bear to a bear bigger than me, all around. It was the cutest thing in the world, and I needed to take some home. Adults were not taking the bears home. The little kids were, but I was like, I'm taking a bear. I asked. They said it was okay. So I took one bear that I'm going to give to my dad for his birthday. And then I took one other bear. Sadie, would you like to open the drawer?
Oh, wait. No. I'm scared of this bear.
No, I'll tell you what he's here to do. I figured it out.
I'm so startled. When did you do this? We're at my house.
I'm a witch.
This is the first time you've surprised me with something in the door. Oh, he's so little. Oh, you're sweeter in person. You were kind of freaking me out on the IG live. Oh, I didn't realize how small you were. He's got something about him.
I couldn't leave without him. I'd already taken one bear. You're like, go over here. So...
He wanted to go by mommy.
And I said, what is your name? Because this bear has an essence. There's something about this
bear. There's
something about this bear. And he said, Rupert. And I thought, okay. Everybody's like skipping this episode. So I was like, I'm going to look up what that means. Maybe there's like something symbolic. It means fame.
Oh.
So I wonder if Rupert's going to help us become a little more seen, a little more visible. So this is our new famous bear. Rupert the famous bear.
That's the essence. It's the fame.
Yeah, I
guess so. He's got something about him. You want more.
I guess so. So I brought home Rupert and some other bear, which didn't have a name or a soul inside of it. But this one does. But it's a good one. Let us know what you think. Zoom in on Rupert and let us know. Yeah, it means fame and glory.
Fame and glory.
Isn't that fascinating? I could have picked a name that meant son of God. I don't know. Okay. The next thing that's new with me is I'm seeing owls everywhere. And in my neighborhood, this is very strange. Grew up in the valley. There aren't owls flying around. It's not a thing.
We have one owl.
They're on my street now. I hear them. Hoo-hoo.
I love hearing the owl.
They fly over my head. Okay. That's interesting.
What does an owl mean?
I think like, I should have looked it up. Like wisdom.
Yeah.
Even though apparently they're not terribly smart.
Have you ever seen the pictures of when you lift up the owl's feathers and they've got those long little legs?
Yes.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. I was named after an owl.
Oh, yeah. I'm picturing them doing the can-can with those little legs.
Oh, it's so cute.
And then I have two more things new with me. One is that we are making progress on my next record, which I'm very excited about. And my producer... And I'm going to say co-producer, because I definitely produce it with him. I just don't press any of the buttons, but I'm extremely vocal and decisive about what I want.
Yeah.
God bless Evan Roth for dealing with me. So he was like, oh, like, we're going to do this session. It's in Beverly Hills. I have a friend. He's going to do some guitar. I said, okay, great. I show up to the most beautiful location next to a literal castle.
Oh, wow.
And I was just... That was another night where I got in the car afterwards and I just started crying. I was like, oh my God, oh my, like, this is just coming together so easily and so beautifully and so effortlessly and so magically. And I've been doing this for 16 years, longer than I've not been doing it at this point. And like, it gets to be this, it gets to be good. It gets to be, I get to be supported. So,
that's so cool.
That was exciting. And then I have spent the past week, maybe some of you saw on Instagram, slowing down.
Yeah, how's that been, Juliet?
I love it. And am I still getting things done that need to get done?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. I wanted to check in with you.
Oh, I think everything's getting done great.
Okay. You're like, we'll talk after. I'm telling myself that not everything needs to be done today.
That's right.
My nervous system feels better. I'm prioritizing outdoors time, like Kevin from The Office. Outdoors time.
Outdoors time.
And more ideas are coming to me freely, and I'm feeling my emotions more fully. So, slowing down. I'll check in again on that later. But that's everything that's new with me. We have a possessed bear, but a bear possessed with goodness with and greatness.
Fame. With fame.
I was so excited to be like, will you please open the drawer? All right, Sadie, back to you. Oh my gosh. What is new with you?
First of all, my stomach is rumbling so loudly today. So if you can hear that through my mic, and I'm not farting...
To be clear.
What if I'm just like over up?
Okay, more power to you.
That would be so great. I'm like, nothing like, I'm like, these are really good mics. They might be picking up on the stomach growls. I don't know. I had a good breakfast today. I had an egg and toast, so I don't know why I'm so hungry.
Yum.
Usually I'm not that good at breakfast. Okay, new with me. Oh no, I typed it on my computer and it didn't upload onto my phone. Gosh darn it. Let me try to remember. Okay, so we went to the cemetery. I have one note on here that I made a while ago, but we went to the cemetery and we'll get more into that. But yeah, I got home and I was just feeling like not necessarily drained, but just so exhausted. And then I've been watching, what's the Tyler Henry show called? Not the Hollywood one where he reads Normal People.
Oh.
Regular People. Just like not with, like, celebrities.
The doodles and the...
Life After Death, I think.
Yes.
So, and he's like solving the mystery of his family and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why. I just decided to start watching it. And I've been watching it for a while and... been totally fine. And then I was watching it that night and I was just crying with every single person. Like, I was so emotional. But it was really, this is a very, very sad story. And if anyone's ever like lost someone to a natural disaster, I'm going to be talking about a story that has to do with that. So if you don't want to hear about loss like that, you can skip forward. But, so this woman pops up on the screen. It's the next person he's going to read. And I'm like, I know this woman. I was like, I recognize this woman. And I was like, well, maybe she's famous in some way, but they don't have celebrities on this. You know, he does his Hollywood show, but that's not what this show is. And he's beginning to get some information. And about like 30 seconds in, he's starting to say stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I know who this is. I have chills right now too. And it was crazy. So he's feeling like chaos and like a decision was made. And if that decision would have been made differently, then this wouldn't have happened. And the loss of two people in a short period of time. And he's starting to say this stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God, I know exactly who this is. So when I lived in Santa Barbara, I worked in Montecito. I was the visual merchandiser for two little boutiques in Montecito. And while I was working in Montecito, Montecito is a town that's literally attached to Santa Barbara. It's where like Ellen DeGeneres lives and lots of celebrities. For anyone who
Oprah.
Hasn't heard of, yeah, Oprah lives there. Ellen DeGeneres shopped up the store I used to merchandise for.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
They live there?
I think so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was like, it was just so normal that, and that was like when I first moved there and had never seen celebrities before. Then they were just like always just in the stores. And I was like, oh my God, it was so cool. But very tragically, what happened was we had really, really intense wildfires this year in Santa Barbara. And that was something I had never experienced either. It was bizarre to me. I mean, it was like it was snowing, but it was ash. Like, I would have to like wipe my car windshield off, and we had to wear masks, and it was really intense. And so then the winter after these wildfires, what's really dangerous is that all that brush is taken away, and there's hills, right? There's mountains. And what happened was we got a really intense storm come through. There was a torrential downpour and a huge mudslide happened in Montecito. And this was exceptionally startling because it's not often that affluent areas experience natural disaster to this level. Like, sadly, the areas that most often experience the floods and stuff, they're inexpensive to live in for a reason. So it was very bizarre to have this happen. And it's a very, very small community. And I was out of work for 3 months, I think. The freeway had been completely destroyed, the 101 that goes up to Santa Barbara. And so many people's houses completely gone. I mean, these people's mansions is what were gone. But this woman in particular that was on this show, she was a regular at our store, and she had three daughters, and one of them was an older daughter, and then she had twin girls. And tragically, she lost two of her daughters in this mudslide, and she herself had like every bone in her body broken, like just awful, traumatic. Like, search parties found her and her daughter that survived, like, days into the process because they were buried in the mud. Like, this was just, it was a horrific, horrific incident that happened. But I was bawling while watching the show, but it was, she had come in after we reopened a few months later, because we had to get our store had been flooded and everything, and all the streets were completely closed. She had come into the store shortly after we reopened with her daughter, and it was very hard coming back to work. Everyone that came in, our regulars, were very shell-shocked, were very... everyone was just grieving. It was really intense. And I have this moment seared in my memory of seeing her and the daughter come in, and everyone knew what happened to who. It's a small community, and just the sort of nothingness in both of their eyes, and they still both had bruises and all of these things. And then to kind of be able to see her on this show, and she was of course still in pain and still grieving, but she had a light in her eyes and she was okay, and she was able to talk about her daughters. And it was just like, it felt so good to just see this person that had made a very big impact on me after experiencing something like that. And of course, like, I was just out of work for a while. Nothing, you know, happened to me or my family. We all lived away from there, but it was just really bizarre to see her on a show I wasn't expecting, and I just knew I knew her, and it was just really nice to like see her and be like, oh, like, she's healing, she's okay. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I mean, we are not mothers yet, but so it's one thing to, I think the second worst thing that can happen is losing a parent you're close to. I think the first worst feeling is probably to be a mom and lose a child.
Yeah.
And so that was just, it was just really sort of mind-blowing to me to see this woman on this show. But it was really special to see her. And I'm just kind of, yeah, I don't know. It felt like a sort of a loop was closing. Like, I was able to sort of see that. I'm like sweating talking about it. Or maybe it's just
really hot
today. let's see. What was the other things? Oh, I had a really fun reading that I wanted to tell about.
Ooh, okay.
So I don't know if you experience this, but when someone buys a reading from me that I know, I get like extra nervous because it's like, it's a lot of pressure. And when you're doing a psychic reading, like, the mark of a good reading is to have some evidential information and then also empowering messages, right? Because you want to show the client that you are indeed connected to their energy. Mm-hmm. So when you know someone, it becomes a little bit more difficult because your ego can come in and you just know more about them, right? So it's like, so I just get nervous when someone, you know, I'm like, oh no, what if they're like, well, that message anybody could feel empowered by, right? But I did this reading for this person that my ego, I was like procrastinated and my ego was fighting with me, and I finally sat down and did it and I sent it and I was just like freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, I made all that up, which is never the case. And she texted me back and she was like, oh my God. So basically what happened was the first thing I was feeling, I was, and I know this person, I'm not super close with this person, it's just someone I see regularly. So I, you know, I know the basics about them, like I follow them on social media, whatever. So the first thing I see and feel is this little boy, and I know she has a little girl. And I'm like, I'm really feeling strong sibling energy. There's something about this sibling connection. I was like, I'm not sure if you're thinking about having another kid or maybe you have a sibling, or I was like, but there's something really about the sibling and I'm feeling the connection and a lot of excitement around this. And I was like, I don't know why, but like it's, there's definitely a young energy, but I really feel like it's a little boy. And then I go on, you know, to do some other stuff, and she texted me and she was like, nobody knows this, but I'm pregnant. And she's like, I don't know I don't know what the baby is yet, but the other day when I was talking about my pregnancy, I just accidentally said him without thinking. So she's like, I think it's a little boy too. So I don't know if I'm right about the sex of the baby yet. Well, I'll keep you updated. But she was, I was shocked. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I felt this, like the little sibling. I feel like these like little souls were just really close, and they're just like really excited to be together again, like her two children.
I love that.
So that was really special and cool and made me feel really good. And then what else is new? My friend Claire hosted a really fun practical magic party. So we all dressed up as witches and had dinner and drinks and watched Practical Magic, which is like truly one of the greatest films of all time.
I haven't seen it. I'll watch it this month, I promise.
Oh my God, we should watch it together. I could watch that movie every single day of my life. It is so good. The hair, the fashion, the story. It has it all. It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. It's got scary moments. It's got feel good moments. I mean, it's, the house is amazing. It's such a good movie. So that was really fun. And then Craig and I, our bikes were, the chains just fell off, but we didn't fix them for a long time. And he finally fixed the bikes. I'm not going to do it and get all greasy. So we've been biking a lot again. Ugh. Been back on our bikes, which has been very fun. And I think that's it. I don't know. I wrote down other stuff, but it didn't upload onto my phone. So we'll save it for next
week. Okay.
So let's dive in. Let's talk about our little adventure. Let's talk about the ghosts of the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Hollywood forever.
And ever and ever.
And ever and ever.
Ooh.
So if you're unaware, if you're unfamiliar, the Hollywood Forever Cemetery is in the heart of Hollywood. It's backed up right against Paramount Studios. It's on Santa Monica Boulevard. It, the archway, whatever. Archway. The thing at the front of the cemetery. I don't know if you noticed when you were driving out, it perfectly...
I took a picture, actually.
Like, what is it called? Like, frames the Hollywood sign. It's very cool.
Oh, now my things did light up.
Oh, did you forget anything important?
No, I said it all.
Okay.
I made some notes about the cemetery.
So it's a place where a lot of... kind of like famous old Hollywood people are laid to rest. There's a whole Jewish section. There's a whole...
I got a picture of it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, here, we'll insert that photo here. Di-di-ding.
Wow, Hollywood.
Isn't that kind of magical? How like as you drive out, it just frames it
I
perfectly.
Noticed that. I was like, oh my gosh, and I snapped a picture while I was driving, but I was going 5 miles per hour, so it's okay.
Oh, you weren't on the road yet.
No.
So... it's just one of those places where you walk around, and for Los Angeles, this is kind of unique because you go to cemeteries on the East Coast and you see graves from like the 1600s and 1700s. That's, you don't see that here. But there are a lot of spaces and areas where the graves are like born in 1842. Mm-hmm. And it's just, for me, mind-blowing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for every single grave or every single like space in the mausoleums, I thought, oh my gosh, there was a gathering here at one time or another for every single one of these individuals. Like, oh, this one happened in 1922. This one happened. It just blew my mind. I really enjoy cemeteries, but I can't spend too much time there because it like overwhelms me. So that's just a brief backstory, but you know, Sadie has a whole history.
I have this really fun book that my friend gifted me called Ghosts of Hollywood, The Show Still Goes On. It's by Marla Brooks. And so let's start out by reading a little bit of history about the cemetery.
Let's get some context.
And then we can talk about our experience. And then I'll come back to the book and read about some of the famous ghosts that are said to wander there.
I love this. So cozy up. Get your black cat and your candy, as long as it's not candy corn.
And I prepared, I underlined the good parts so I didn't have to waste your time.
Professor Olson is here.
Okay. So, as we mentioned, the Hollywood Forever Cemetery is shares a wall with the Paramount Pictures. But Hollywood Forever Cemetery has been in the neighborhood a bit longer than Paramount. It was founded as Hollywood Memorial Park Cemetery in 1899 by Hollywood denizens I.N. Van Nuys and Colonel Isaac Lankersham, which are streets in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
On 100 prime acres in the heart of Hollywood. I don't think it's 100 acres anymore.
No, they sold some of it off.
Because I'm like, we walked the whole thing. It was big, but it was definitely not 100. Acres. In 1901, Mrs. Highland Price, a blacksmith's wife, was the first person to be interred at the cemetery. So 1901 was the first time someone was buried in the cemetery.
Imagine being the first.
And
trailblazer.
What's interesting is that a lot of witches believe that the first person to be buried in a cemetery becomes the gatekeeper of the cemetery. So when you make an offering, I don't work with graveyard dirt, but some witches do. So if you were to go to the cemetery to find some dirt, or we left an offering because we were creating content, but it's said that you're making that offering to the gatekeeper, which would be the first person to be buried there. So we have
Ms.
a name.
Mrs. Price.
So she was the first, and since then, some of the most famous stars in the history of Hollywood, including Rudolph Valentino and a bunch of names that I don't recognize, but I'll read them to you.
Okay.
I think they're old Hollywood.
I'll tell you if I recognize them.
Douglas Fairbanks, Nelson Eddy, Peter Lorre, Janet Gaynor, Tyrone Power, and Clifton Webb.
Nope.
Yeah.
Isn't that sad? Like, they were so famous at one time.
They're like some of the most famous.
And we're like, who?
Many other famous Los Angelinos are buried at the cemetery as well. Longtime publisher of the Los Angeles Times, Harrison Gray Otis, is buried there. Colonel Griffith, who gave Griffith Park and the Griffith Observatory to the city of Los Angeles, is buried there. Lots of famous people. So by the late 1990s, the cemetery had fallen into disrepair and was on the verge of being closed for good thanks to the mishandling of funds by owner Jules Roth. So again, it was founded in 1899, first person buried in 1901, but then by the 1990s, the cemetery is a hot mess, okay? The owner, Jules Roth, was a convicted felon who had served 5 years in San Quentin for grand theft and securities fraud. He bought the cemetery in the late 1930s and over the years stole millions of dollars in cemetery revenue. And it wasn't until the 80s that officials began raising questions. So he's doing this for like 50 years. He's stealing money from the cemetery and just letting it fall in disarray. So in the 80s, officials began raising questions, and state regulators eventually seized the property in 1995. Roth was being investigated by the city state's attorney when he died of pneumonia in 1998. And by the way, yes, he is buried there. He is buried in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh, we didn't see his grave.
So by then, Hollywood Memorial Park's threatened closure was imminent. At the 11th hour, and you're going to remember this name, it's going to come back later, okay? Mm-hmm. In a very fun way. At the 11th hour, an enterprising young man from St. Louis named Tyler Cassidy, whose family was in the cemetery business, stepped in and bought the crumbling ruins for a mere $375,000 at auction. At the time of purchase, it was estimated that it would cost Cassidy another $7 million to refurbish the place. But he did the work. In the process, he not only changed the cemetery name to Hollywood Forever, he launched it into the 21st century with amenities such as a funeral chapel equipped for live worldwide webcasts for people who can't attend in person, and computerized kiosks scattered around the property where people can go and look up the life stories of many of the cemetery's permanent residents. I didn't notice kiosks.
I didn't see any kiosks.
Those might have gone away. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so the Hollywood Forever Paramount Studios connection begins with a common wall separating the two properties. Not surprisingly, many of the stars and employees who worked for Paramount are buried in Hollywood Forever. And I'm going to save the rest about that because it's about some ghost stories. And then there's some famous specific ghosts too. So that's the history of Hollywood Forever.
I can't get over that the man bought 100 acres of cemetery for $375,000. I can't even get a condo.
I don't know if it was 100 acres at that point. It doesn't say. But
solid investment.
He bought it and then he put $7 million into it to refurbish it. And Juliet, do you want to tell us more about who Tyler Cassidy is?
I do. So this is so fun for me. I had a loose memory of my grandma, when she was alive, mentioning that they were related in some way to somebody connected at Hollywood Forever, right? Mm-hmm. I just sort of heard this. So while we're there, I thought, I'm going to text my aunt because my aunt knows everything about everything. And we're here, so why not? So I said, hi, Auntie Sally. What is the family connection to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery? Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, well, your third cousin, Tyler Cassidy, owns it.
That's what I just read out of the book. Tyler Cassidy bought it.
And I said, what?
What's funny is I had read this before we went, and I was telling Julia, and I said, I remembered the name, and I said, oh, and this guy, Tyler Cassidy, bought it, but I didn't remember the dates, so, like, I thought this was, like, in the 40s or something, and I was like, oh, is he still alive? This is a young, handsome man. He's nowhere, you know, he's not. So funny.
I was like, wait, how, what? So my grandma Beverly, who is not here anymore, but lives on in our, she would be so proud that we have a weekly program.
A program.
Oh my gosh. She would just be so proud.
Oh, I got a big shiver. She's like, sure, yeah, she love it.
Yeah. Like I'm singing, we're doing a dance, yeah, thing, we have a show. Oh my God. Oh, a weekly television program. She would just lose her mind. So she was the woman, let me talk about her just for a quick second. She spent her whole life doing theater. She had a traveling theater company with my grandpa and their kids, my dad included, called the Piper Players. They performed for the president. My grandma got airlifted in to play piano at the USO show in Alaska during, like, World War II. Up until her 80s, she was getting roles on Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. She played the really old lady that Josh Peck goes on a date with on that episode of Drake and Josh, where they're competing to see who can go on more dates. My grandma Beebe's the... Oh, here, gosh. We'll put a picture here. Here's my grandma Beebe. Working well into her 80s, doing what she loves.
Oh my gosh.
So she came from Kansas City, Missouri. That's, I believe, where she was born. And her first cousin was so-and-so Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
So her first cousin's grandson is Tyler Cassidy. And she remembers that in Missouri, they were in the funeral business. They had a really thriving funeral business. And then I guess they came out here and that's what Tyler did. Now, I did a little more digging into the family because I was like, oh my God, I'm so honored to be related to this man. Tyler Cassidy's brother and father were also in the funeral business, but they were, I guess, embezzling. Like, it was like the greatest funeral fraud in all of history, like $600 million. And they both spent time in prison. So if you're into that, you know.
Wow, who knew there was so much drama in the funeral business? They could make shows about this.
Right? Right?
It's exciting.
But I guess Tyler Cassidy was never involved in that. And so anyways, so Sadie and I were roaming the funeral, not the funeral, we were roaming the cemetery. And I said, I wonder if he's here.
And I was like, he's still alive?
I said, I wonder if he's here. Because my grandma and my dad and his siblings, I guess 15 years ago, had gone to visit and said hello, and he, you know, greeted them and whatever. And I thought, oh my God, if I get to meet this man and tell him I'm his cousin, I'm going to lose my mind. So we go to the office and I said, hi, this is really strange. Is Mr. Cassidy in today? Because I'm his third cousin. My last name is Piper. He might recognize the name Piper. Yes, he'll be right down. And out he comes. And I said, hi, we're related. I'm your cousin. And here's the picture we took together. And
okay, so I took this picture and the cutest moment happened when they were taking this picture. He said, cousins. It was in so the most sweet. Adorable. He had the sweetest energy. He was like so smiley and so sweet. It was so cool to meet him.
I said, Do you have any memories about like my side of the family? And he's like, no, but I remember. He's like, you guys were the West Coast Cassidys. And I was like, oh my God, I'm a Cassidy. And he said he remembered meeting my grandma and my dad and all these things. And I said, oh, well, you know, we do a show and we're psychic mediums. And he's like, oh, well, I'll put in a good word for the spirits to come out.
Yeah, to talk to you.
Oh my God, he was just so lovely. And I couldn't, I felt, I was so flushed. Like, I felt like I was meeting a celebrity because we've talked about this and I'd sort of vaguely heard my whole life, like, oh yeah, you're related. But I didn't realize how closely related.
Right.
And I was just like so proud to introduce myself. So he's a wonderful man. He really has created an iconic spot in Los Angeles. People go to concerts and movies and they just have beautiful services. And it's just a really special place to walk around. It's beautiful. There's a lake. There's all sorts of animals. We'll talk about that. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful location. So isn't that wild?
Yeah, he's done an amazing thing. I've gone to tons and tons of movies hosted there, and it's always so, so fun. Yeah, it's just a special place.
And
if you're ever visiting LA, definitely put it on your list. It's a very fun tourist spot. You can get a little map and you can find all of the famous people buried there, and it's really fun. It's a really special place.
The only other famous people I can think of off the top of my head, Estelle Getty, who was in Golden Girls, who looked the oldest but was the youngest, that little funny character. Mel Brooks, I think is his name, who voiced thousands of characters, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, like all Bugs Bunny.
I took a picture of the ones that we came across.
Oh, good. I think her name was Hattie Davis. She was the first black woman to win an Academy Award, I believe. She was from Gone with the Wind, and it was her dying wish to be buried.
Mel Blanc. Mel Brooks is a different comedian.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mel Blanc is the man of 1,000 voices. That's all, folks.
That's who he is. That's all, folks. Hattie Davis? Hattie Daniels? Hattie something? We should know her name if I'm going to say it. But her dying wish was to be buried in Hollywood Forever, but it was still a segregated cemetery at the time of her passing. So they buried her somewhere else. And then I guess when Tyler Cassidy came into the picture, I think around that time, they created a monument. That's why it said as her final wish on that thing.
Oh,
they created a monument. There was a monument for Toto the dog from Wizard of Oz. Johnny and Dee Dee Ramone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who am I forgetting? Anybody else?
Well, I want to talk about a really special one we found. This was my favorite. And this person actually has not passed yet. But do you remember what I'm going to bring up?
Movies.
This okay. person. There's their born date on it. But there's no death date. So I think this person's still alive and is just prepared. But you know, you choose like a tagline, so to speak, for your grave. Like
beloved daughter, beloved grandmother.
This one says, this is so iconic. This one literally says, we'll put the picture up. Maybe we'll X out the name. Shopping, lunch, and movies.
That's my plot. Thank you.
Shopping, lunch, and movies. They were like, Emery, what do you like the most? What do you want on your gravestone? And she was like, or he, I don't know, is Emery a girl name or a boy name?
You know that it was somebody's daughter or granddaughter that was like, Mom, let's just get this situated. What do you want it to say? Like, you know, a quote from the Bible or something about beloved. No,
shopping, lunch, and movies.
And they said, are you sure it's going to be, that's what you want?
What would your yes. three words be?
Love, music, magic.
Mm. Mine would be cats. Like, I know the first one. I'm like, cats, tarot cards, and crystal balls.
Yes!
Comment, if you're on YouTube, comment and tell us what your three words on your tombstone would be.
Yes, please.
Shopping, lunch, and movies. Oh, that's Emery's perfect
iconic,
day.
Iconic.
That was the best grave. I saw the Ramones. I saw
Rudolph so many. Valentino. But shopping, but lunch, and movies.
Emery took the cake. So, okay. So should we go through our time there, like a step at a time?
Yes.
Okay. So we arrived at the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a little time there before I got there. And you said you felt some interesting things. So tell us about your initial walkthrough.
So naturally, I was, you know, there's a zillion places to park. Not realizing it, park right in the Jewish section. And I get out and I was like, oh, great. And I'm walking around. And what's amazing to me is so many of these great headstones mm-hmm. have pictures of the people.
I love it. It's so funny to me. I've never seen such a thing in any other cemetery. Because I always visit cemeteries when I go to new cities if I can.
It was so magical, actually.
Never seen that anywhere else.
To see,
so
like, oh, that's who Maria is. Like,
yeah,
it was really,
it's really cool.
And I just thought it was so tender that so many couples were buried together in the same mm-hmm. little plot. But I was sensing so much obviously Jewish energy. It felt very familiar to me. And my big takeaway from roaming through that area was a little bit of an attitude of like, you can't just light the candles on Friday night. Like, what is so difficult? So there was a little bit of a pull, like, come back to your roots. And then that there was some excitement to see me there. That's sort of what I felt overall.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was a big energy of like, I don't know, I just thought it was sweet that like they were all together. You know, like even in death, Jews want to stick together. Mm-hmm. And then there was a whole section of like Russian people and Greek, like they all sort of mm-hmm. I don't know, I just thought the community of it was very sweet. But
yeah,
those were sort of the main things that I felt. And I just felt like very peaceful as I walked through. Being outside in general felt very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sadie showed up.
Yeah. Yeah, so we started walking through, and at first we were just wandering, and I had known that I wanted to go to, there's this beautiful lake, and you cross this bridge, and you go, it might be a mausoleum of some sort. That one doesn't have the doors open to walk through, but there's this beautiful, like, big building monument, and I was like, I really want to, like, let's go sit on those steps, and let's meditate there and see if we can mm-hmm. like pick up on anything. So we both took some notes of things we were feeling. I thought it'd be fun to go through what we both
mm-hmm.
felt. So it was interesting because, yes, it felt very sacred. As I was like driving there, I was sort of like getting in my head of like, oh my gosh, there's gonna be so much energy there. I've been like so open lately? Is this going to be overwhelming? I was really like, I had all my crystal bracelets on and I was like, I'm going to wear a hat to protect my energy. And I was like saying like very specific things like I'm protected, I'm safe. And I got there and I was like, oh, this is so chill. Because really, truly, like this, not every spirit is hanging around there. They don't care. Like there's no attachment to your physical body after you pass on typically. Right. So it's like there's truly not a ton of spirits there. I felt like what I was feeling more was the energy of the living people and their heartache and their memories. And so like I feel like honestly when you go to a place like that, I don't know, for me I felt more so the empathy to like we'd walk past some graves and I would just get hit with like a wave of like sadness and it was like, oh, that's like the living, if that's their family's energy I'm feeling, maybe they were there recently or something. And it was less of like, less hits of like, oh, this is what this grave person, this is what this person's life was like or things like that. I felt like I was getting more emotions from like probably the living people. But okay, I'll tell you what I experienced in my meditation. So when I first closed my eyes, I immediately just sort of felt like this, like almost like I had like a bird's eye view of the cemetery and I could see like ghosts, kind of like figures, like silhouettes of people throughout it, like all these people there. So maybe spirits lingering or maybe the energy of the alive people, who knows. But then I kind of felt like, okay, I sort of called out my mind. I was like, you know, if anyone wants to chat, like I'm just curious and I'm able to communicate. And does anyone have anything they want to say, you want to hang out, you know, if all love and all curiosity, genuine like curiosity. So I felt like I had a couple of people that I talked to and I tried to look up the names, but they were all kind of like popular names and mostly alive people popped up with their Facebooks and stuff. So just, you know, my note that I have no way to prove this, right? But that's fine. So the first energy I was feeling was a gentleman, and he felt like he was like a blue collar worker.
Okay.
Maybe like I felt like he was working with like I don't know, like a chimney sweep or something. Like very like he was sort of in the nitty gritty, and he was always like around, and I felt like he was from the like kind of like old Hollywood era. And I got the name Dustin. I felt like he was wearing like a brown suit and had like I call them grandpa hats. Those like.
Oh, those, you know, newsboy.
Yeah, like a newsboy hat on.
I can't stand those hats.
They're only cute on grandpas.
Or babies.
That's it. Yeah.
Public service announcement.
But I felt like he was like, yeah, I saw some shit in my time. And I very specifically felt this message where he was like, those cigarettes weren't all just cigarettes, if you know what I mean. And like winking, like I was like, oh, I get it. They're smoking weed. Like that's what I felt like he was telling me that. And I was like, okay. We both heard someone audibly clear their throat and there was no one around us.
That was odd.
And I have a video of us, so I'd never watched that back. And then I felt like I had another woman. I heard the name Monica, but I also felt like she had a nickname that was like Cheaty or something, like Chetty or Cheaty or something. I don't know. And she felt like she just was like, oh, I got mixed up in the wrong crowds. Like, I wanted to be an actress. I never really got the chance to like pursue any level of success. Like, I was just trying to get by. I got mixed up. Like, I shouldn't have. There was like some sort of regret around that. And then the final thing, I felt like this like Italian family, very fiery energy and like very, very like, like really important with the like family legacy thing. And I felt like they were like, let's see, what did I write? We got something to say. And there was like grandeur, like a big, fabulous house, like what you would see, kind of like mafia vibes, right? Like just like grandness and whatever, and pride and legacy, and this feeling that like the current generation of their family, they're like millennial and Gen Z generations are like they don't take the legacy seriously. Mm. Like they're very disappointed. Mm. They're out there making TikToks and things, and they don't understand what it is to be like proud to be a like, and I felt the name like Marchese or Marchese or something. So I felt that come through. So that was kind of funny. And so that was the specific things that I felt. Again, I tried to look these up. The Marchese is a crime family in New York, but I couldn't find any, I couldn't find a connection to LA. Maybe they have some grandkids out here or something.
Interesting. If you know anything, let us know.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I felt when we did that meditation. And tell us about what you felt.
So just, you'll see, we'll make a little reel or something, but yeah, we were sitting on the steps of this sort of like smaller mausoleum, mm-hmm. and the door has a knocker on it.
Oh my God.
And I went up the steps and I lifted the knocker and I looked back at Sadie. I was like, could I do it? And she's like, no.
I was like, I was shaking my head. And she gently puts it back.
Okay.
That was a very, like, you reminded me of Craig in that moment. Like, because the way he'll like sort of like start doing something and then look at me and I'll be like, no. Juliet was being very mischievous.
Oh my God.
It was very cute. Like, but
hello,
I was like,
wake up.
I was like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh. So we're sitting on the steps. What I felt one presence come forward. I felt like it was a male. I felt like he was a tap dancer. I felt like he did a lot of background work, but never made it to like the foreground. And I felt like the thing about Hollywood that I can't spend too much time there is you can literally, if you're sensitive, feel the energy of all of these souls who were trying to make it, and they like will not cross over because they still feel like they're trying to make it. It's a very specific feeling. So Hollywood's fun once in a while, but I don't believe I could live there. Maybe in the hills, but like not down where like the studios are.
When I lived there was when we were first doing the mentorship, and I would like, it got really intense because like, mm-hmm. And this was not passed on spirits. Like, I remember one time we were checking out at Trader Joe's in like the heart of Hollywood, and this cashier, I just got this rush of like, she was like, you know, had moved there, had these big dreams, was like, I'm gonna be a star, and now she's like 60 and checking me out at Trader Joe's. And I just felt like I had this like wave of images of her, and I was just like, that was really sad. And I just wanted to be like, you can still try, you know, like, just don't stop trying, you know. I wanted to say that, but I was like, not my business. But it was like, it was intense, like, you know, the waiters and the people that check you out, and everyone's in the industry, and this is their this is their thing to get by until they make it. And it was like hard to be in that energy.
There's an intensity to it, and there are people who are grounded in it, and then there are people who have like a really heavy energy of yearning, mm-hmm. and it's like palpable.
Yeah, very. Mm-hmm.
So I felt this little tap dancer. He was like showing off his little moves, and I was like, are you somebody I would know? And he was like, no, I'm somebody nobody would know, but I was there. Like, he was very clear that he was there, but he was happy. And the messages are on my phone, which is recording the episode, but the what I remember was something about like let people roll their eyes, like, it was so specific. It was like, let people roll their eyes at you, their eyes will be useless someday anyways. It was like, just like, go for it, go all in, do what you want, like, don't worry about other people's opinions. It was like this very strong like, I'm here to help you further your career because I was only able to get mine so far, was sort of the vibe that I was getting. And it was mostly just messages about like making the most of your life, and again, just like not worrying what people think or people say, because it was almost like, look around, like, this is like, there's no escaping this, and not to feel anxious or paranoid or freaked out about that, but like, all of our mortal lives will come to an end, so you might as well spend it doing exactly what you want to do. And the people that roll their eyes are also going to end up, you know, buried here. So why are we worried about what they have to say? Like, build your legacy.
Right. It's it's so funny how much we're like worried about like what people think, mm-hmm. but two generations after us, we're kind of forgotten.
Yeah.
It's not that fucking serious, you know? It's like, oh, we all want to be remembered and whatever. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, we remember our parents and our grandparents. We have some memory maybe of great grandparents. We don't know our great great grandparents. It's just like, it doesn't, just do what you want because it doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe it feels a little sad at times, but to me, I'm like, no, that's the most freeing thing in the world, because if I fail,
who cares?
Nobody's going to remember that. No. Nobody's going to be like, did you know great, great, great grandma Sadie was a total floozy and like thought she was a witch and like totally failed and never made anything happen?
But you know what's fun about our day and age? Like these, unless YouTube disappears, this episode will be available to watch in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So our great, 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 great grandchildren might see us and be inspired. Some point, we're going to touch somebody's lives. And I already know that we are. But it's, I don't know. So I just was feeling a lot of unexpected guidance. And then to get Rupert, the bear of fame and glory, I don't know. I feel like
things are happening.
Things are brewing. But what I was most surprised by, I'm going to talk about something really pleasant at the cemetery, and then we're going to get into our indoors experiences.
Yeah, that was intense.
So here was something really pleasant. Animals galore. Swans in the water, ducks, geese. There were all of these cats.
There were so many cats, and two of them let us pet them.
Two were very friendly.
Okay.
One was a boy.
Can I tell you something?
Please, tell them.
Tell everybody.
I know what you're going to
say. I've never met cats that weren't fixed, apparently.
Same.
I mean, my grandparents had farm cats, but I don't have memories of this. Okay, we met a tomcat, and he was very obviously a tomcat because he had balls.
Huge.
Huge balls. He was an orange tomcat, but here's the thing. The balls were also orange furry balls, and I was like, you just expect them to be different than the rest of the body because on a human, they're different, right? And like on dogs, they look different. They're a different color. These cats' balls were covered in fur. They were adorable. I couldn't believe it. I was like, Julia. And I was like, those are the cutest fucking things I've ever seen. They're just these little covered in orange fur. I couldn't believe it. It was
I've never seen cat balls.
Was that cat specifically, or do all cats have adorable furry little balls?
I think they all do.
I think we have a couple people that work with animals. Let us know. I was like, I couldn't stop looking at them. I was like, this is bizarre. Why aren't they different? They're different on every other animal, I feel like. You know, they've got a different texture, color. Not on cats.
We learned a good lesson in feline anatomy.
So that was a fun graveyard.
That little tomcat followed us around for a while.
Yeah.
There were squirrels. There were some graves that had little squirrel houses above them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's what I want. Say no more.
Load me up with the squirrels.
And then my favorite animal that we saw, there were just full peacocks. Mm-hmm. Like big, beautiful peacocks, male and female.
Tons of them. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. One let me get so close and I said, you are so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The most beautiful bird I've ever seen. So that was amazing. It was a beautiful day. And then we decided, let's go see the mausoleums.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go walk through the indoor portion. And boy, was that a different experience than the outdoor portion.
Yeah, it was really interesting because when we first walked into it, it's a newer part and it didn't feel a lot different. It was like, I didn't really feel much when we first walked in. But then there's this very clear lineation where you can tell like, oh, we're in a part that was built more recently.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really old mausoleum.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually mostly gated off. We actually found a gate that was like kind of half open. And I don't think we were really supposed to go back there.
I don't think we were supposed to be in there because there were boxes of coffins back there.
Yeah, there was stuff being stored back there. And I kept having this anxiety of like, what if someone closes that gate and we get locked in?
In my head, I'm like, then we'll call the front desk and somebody will get us.
I'm just like, we'll be stuck here all night.
Forever.
But so we go into this older part and immediately both of us are just like, it was like walking into like a wall. It was thick back there.
Yeah, we both got extremely dizzy.
Very dizzy. And it was just, it kind of gave me the creeps back there. Like, it was heavier energy. One hallway, I like felt like my chest was tightening up and I was like, I wonder if there's like a couple people here that maybe died from some sort of, you know, like something going around like we just had a few years ago. Like, I don't know. It was very interesting. And I had just never felt something that intensely walking in, I feel like.
For me, this older hallway, which again, I don't know if we were supposed to be in there, but we were. It was like the dates were for this indoor mausoleum section. Mm-hmm.
They're
born in 1830 to 60, died 1901 to 1930. I mean, that was sort of, so I was like, the last time people gathered here was almost 100 years ago. I mean, it was, or more than 100 years ago. So there was something very stale. And for me, it was like, for anybody to deny that energy exists or that you can feel energy or feel when it's thick, just walk into this space.
Yeah, it was like undeniable.
Swimming in it. It was like you could just tell that it had not been cleansed in any way. There weren't windows in this space. I mean, it was like pushing through it. It was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And any of you listening, I imagine, would have felt the same way. Because again, like Sadie said, the newer ones did not feel like this.
No, it felt light, airy. You know, you'd get random... I just feel like I would get like random emotions walking. Some of them, the name, you'd read a name and just feel a little jolt of an emotion or something. But it was like the outside area. Like it felt serene and calm, but it was just so thick and so heavy. And then we had a little EMF detector on the phone
we tested here and it does work.
Yeah, it does work because you can hold it up to electronics to see the EMF go up. But EMFs also are, you know, a sign that a spirit is around. And we didn't have much luck with this detector. We opened it up a few times as we were walking around. But what was interesting was we came up to this gated part that we were both drawn to for some reason. We just, I don't know, you know, we had a feeling. And Julia had the phone open and she noticed it go up. And then she held it over the gate and it went down. And she went to the gate and it went up and back and it went down. And there's no reason the gate would give off any sort of EMF. Like it's an old gate. And so we were like, oh, wow, like someone's protecting.
I think I might have noticed this on a couple of, it was always an entryway.
Yeah.
Always like a threshold.
Uh-huh.
One or two, for sure that one time, but maybe two or three times I would notice it would go up only there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was interesting where there was like, and by that gate, there was a large statue. So I actually left another offering there. I left a stone and some coins because I just felt like I was like, oh, sorry. Like we disturbed you.
Sorry.
They're gadgets. I'm like, nobody's been back here for a while. You're like, what is that gadget? So I left another little offering. But it was really cool to walk through. But the energy was intense there.
It was. There was one other spot where the radar went up big time. And it was when we walked past the Hearst car. Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The hearse.
Hearse?
Yeah. I don't think it has a T.
I'm thinking of Hearst Castle or something. The hearse
car. I don't think.
Car.
I'm wrong. I don't know.
You know, they transport the bodies, the coffins in the back of the car. While I'm walking with my phone, nothing's happening. I'm completely right next to the back of the car. It spikes up. I move to the front of the car, it goes back down.
Hmm.
So right where they transport the bodies, it went way up.
And that's interesting because if it was due to technology, it would have been from the front of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if someone protects the car that things out there, or if there's just someone that just was like, I'm not leaving.
Yeah. So that was interesting, but it was more the feeling. And then I remember at some point I said to Sadie, like, we got to get out of these indoor spaces.
Yeah. I think we were both getting like a little, it was too intense.
It was too much.
It was a lot. Much. Like I was, and it's these long hallways, right? And it's symmetrical because it's just these squares, right? Square, 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 square. And there's like a window down the end. So it was also almost like a, like it's almost like an optical illusion as yes. well, on top of the energy being very intense. So I was like, oh my, like I felt started feeling like so dizzy, and like we were just like, oh, we have to get out of here. But we spent a good, I don't know, like 20 minutes back there mm-hmm. wandering around. It was really cool.
And then we had one more stop to make. We walked over to the cathedral mausoleum mm-hmm. to visit the famous grave site. Resting spot mm-hmm. of Rudolph Valentino. And yes. when I walked into this final place, I was like, no, 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 no. Because lining the entryway were these 10-foot gigantic, terrifying looking, what, like Catholic...
Yeah, they were
saints of yeah. some kind.
And they were like all saints, and then there was Apollo or something. I was looking at all the names. Or no, not Apollo. It was like... Aristotle. So it was like a philosopher and then a bunch of saints.
Strange. Walking through there was interesting, and we got to be by Rudolph Valentino's grave, and we sat at a bench there for a little bit, see if mm-hmm. we could pick up on anything. He was not there that day.
No, he's one of the famous ghosts that I'm going to tell you about, so that's why we wanted to go there to see, because he's yeah. famously been seen many times by many people.
I shared everything I wanted to share about my time there. So yeah, let's jump into some of the hauntings.
Okay, so we're going to go back to the book. let's start with the Paramount Studios connection. So, excuse me. There's a common wall separating the two properties, which we went to. Mm-hmm. Not surprisingly, like I said, many of the stars and employees who worked there are buried there. And... so the adjoining wall is located closest to stages 29 through 32, and many people have reported seeing spirits walking directly through the wall from one lot to the next. Those who have witnessed these apparitions claim that the ghosts most often are dressed in clothing from the 1930s and 40s. So very like old Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's out of all of the sound stages in the area, stages 31 and 32 have the most ghostly activity. Footsteps are often heard tapping through stages that have been secured for the night. And it's not uncommon for equipment to turn on and off and operate by itself.
Ugh.
Very, very spooky. The studio's large stage doors make a very loud sound when they are opened or shut, and there is no way to muffle the sound of a door closing. When someone enters or leaves, it is plainly heard. One evening, three guards secured stage 32 for the night. One of the men had gone outside and closed and locked the door securely behind him. The remaining two guards were looking around the place, just making sure everything's in order, and they suddenly heard someone walking behind one of the stage flats. They walked over and looked behind the partition, but no one was there. Moments later, they heard the stage door being opened. Puzzled, but convinced that it was the third guard, they secured the rest of the stage and left to find the third member of the team sitting outside. He had not entered the soundstage. So this door, they're hearing this door, ooh. But nobody's there. Another guard had an even more frightening experience on this same stage. He was working by himself, and shortly after finishing his rounds for the night, he turned off the lights, and just as he was leaving, he heard someone walking across the stage. He wondered how anyone could see to walk around in the darkness on a stage that was filled with props and scenery for the next day's filming. It was difficult enough to move around when the lights were on. Somehow, though, the footsteps continued, crossing the darkened stage unobstructed. The startled guard turned on his flashlight and checked out the sound, but no one was there. After that incident, he refused to close down that stage by himself again.
He said, no thanks.
And so mostly the security guards are seeing all of this. Other guards that have been posted there say that some spirits actually appear as heads that poke through the cemetery wall and then disappear. So these security guards are seeing a lot of action. It's at
night.
Do
we need to get like a part-time security job?
Right.
See what happens.
Others actually walk through the gate itself, like the ghost of silent film heartthrob Rudolph Valentino.
Rudy.
So he's spotted there many times. Most of the guards know everyone who comes in and out of the gates because they see them every day. One evening, the night shift guard noticed an unfamiliar face lurking about. He followed the man to a corner of the wall leading into the cemetery and, thinking he had him cornered, waited for the suspicious visitor to come out. After a minute or two, he looked around the corner just in time to see the man vanish right through the wall.
Oh, no.
From that time on, he refused to work that gate at night. So these security guards are like just dropping like flies. Yeah, they're like, no, they're like, I'm not working that stage.
Uh-uh.
So that's the Paramount connection. And then there's a few names of known ghosts that they're like, no, like this is this person's ghost. So okay. Let's hear some of those stories. So... Virginia Rapp was a popular young starlet from 1916 until her untimely death in 1921. She also has the distinction of being the center of the biggest scandal to ever rock Hollywood during that era. Although she was ultimately discovered to have died of peritonitis caused by a ruptured bladder, it was initially allegedly that she had been murdered and also we'll say attacked by silent screen comic Roscoe Fatty Arbuckle during a wild party at the St. Francis Hotel in San Francisco. So this man was accused. He was brought to trial multiple times. He was never found guilty. He was acquitted. But it did ruin his career. He never had the same career after this.
Mm-hmm.
And he did end up finally, after many, many years, signed on to make a feature length film again after his reputation had crumbled. And he was, you know, said to be just this. He said, this is the best day of my life. And then he died before he ever got to make the film.
Oh, no.
So
maybe that's karma. Maybe he.
So yeah. Some might consider his early passing a tragedy. It seems as though that wasn't enough to satisfy the scorned ghost of Virginia Rapp. Whether it's because of the verdict that set the actor free or that she is simply bemoaning the fact that she died at such an early age, she has been seen on numerous occasions kneeling in front of her own gravestone and wailing loudly into the night.
Whoa.
So she's not a happy spirit, sadly.
No. The cemetery closes at 5 p.m.
I know. I really wanted to like go there at dusk, but I've been there at night.
Get out.
For the Synespia movies.
Weird stuff happens after dark.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another ghost. The ghost of actor Clifton Webb. I don't know that name, but...
What a guy.
Oh, it says he's probably best known for his role as Mr. Belvedere.
I don't know.
Still
who
nothing.
That is.
He's another spirit who roams the cemetery. He can often be seen strolling along the quarters of the Abbey of the Psalms mausoleum, where he is buried alongside his mother. And so this is kind of a cute one. Psychic to the stars, Kenny Kingston and Mr. Webb were good friends in life and continue to be, even Aww. Though Mr. Webb is in spirit now. And the author of this book spoke to Kenny to ask him about Mr. Webb and why he's hanging around, why he's a ghost. And this is what Kenny Kingston, psychic to the stars, said. Clifton refuses to accept the fact that he's dead. He often visits his home on Rexford Drive, but he prefers staying close to the cemetery. Kenny also added that Mr. Webb is not the least bit shy about having people see his apparition, which may account for the numerous sightings. So
I'm so ready to see an apparition.
I know.
I'm ready now.
Well, I think
not
when
in
I was
my
little,
house.
I did, and it scared me too much, but...
With Sadie and in the daytime.
Yeah. No nighttime alone. Not
Come
my
visit
house.
Us.
Okay. And then here we're going to hear the story of Rudolph Valentino, where we went to his grave in the mausoleum.
Okay.
And his connection to Dietra Flame. So some time ago, I said I was at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery for a movie. Mm-hmm. And that my friend had told me about this. I had asked, I said, do you know any stories about ghosts here? There must be some ghosts. And she said, one famous ghost is the lady in black. And then we ended up seeing like an alive woman in a black dress walking so creepily through the cemetery, and we were like dying laughing. So this is the story of the lady in black, the actual story that I learned. Okay. So let's read from the book. Another ghost who is regularly seen in the cemetery is referred to as the lady in black, who visits Rudolph Valentino's crypt on a regular basis. There are lots of theories about who she might be, but from the first day of Valentino's entombment, this lady in black would walk through the cemetery into the main building directly to Valentino's tomb, place red roses in the flower holders, then rub her glove-covered hand over his name and date of birth and death, making certain it was clear of dust and fingerprints, and then kneel before his tomb and pray. And when we were there, it was indeed
there were red covered roses.
Red roses. The original lady in black reportedly was a woman named Dietra Flame. As a child, she had become very sick and was put into the hospital. Rudolph, a friend of her mother, is said to have come to her bedside and put a rose on her bed, supposedly saying, this is such a weird thing to say to a sick child, if I die before you do, you please come and stay by me because I don't want to be alone either. You come and talk to me.
I would be like, okay, thanks for visiting my kid. Bye-bye now.
Why would you say that? But fortunately, Dietra got better. And when Valentino died on August 23rd, 1926, at the age of 31, she brought a bouquet of red roses to Rudy's crypt every year up until 1955. According to many, even now, after her death, she continues to pay tribute to Valentino. So there's all other theories, but this is the most widely accepted one of who the lady in black is. Okay, so also Valentino's ghost has been known to take a nightly stroll through the cemetery grounds, and so has the spirit of legendary gangster Benjamin Siegelbaum, or as he's better known, Bugsy Siegel, who is buried in the Beth Olam section of the cemetery. He picked up the nickname Bugsy early in his career because of his reputation for being a hothead who, quote, went bugs quite easily. And so those are two ghosts that are said to take nightly strolls. And then they mentioned that Hollywood Forever also played a role in the final disposition of former Beatle George Harrison. He's not a ghost. He doesn't haunt it, but he was cremated there.
Oh.
Which is special. But then the remains were given back to the family, and some people think that his family had him scattered in the sacred Ganges River in India because he was very spiritual and like Eastern spirituality. So that's a fun fact, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Jules Roth, do we remember this name?
Yes, the guy who owned it for 50 years and was stealing the money and turning the cemetery to a garbage dump.
So he died at the age of 98. In 1998. He's not a ghost. He doesn't haunt it. But he is buried there, like I said. And what's interesting is that there's a bronze bust of Jules Roth. It says, which the Vane Roth had commissioned years ago. And it now resides in Tyler Cassidy's office.
And oh!
So what's funny is it says, not long after Tyler Cassidy... Do we remember Juliet's third cousin that we met? After he settled into his new job, he made an amazing discovery in a West Side junk shop when he came face to face with an exquisitely sculpted bronze bust of the man whose cemetery he had just bought. It had been hauled off along with everything else of value in Roth's Hollywood Hills home and sold at auction to help satisfy Roth's personal debts, which were many. In fact, there wasn't even enough money in Roth's estate to cover his death expenses. On the rainy afternoon when Roth's body was transported from a funeral home across the street to the cemetery, instead of his casket being transported by the customary hearse, no tea.
Oh, hearse.
I was like, I don't know who's right. It was unceremoniously thrown into the back of a pickup truck.
Oh.
And that's the end of the... And I thought this was fun. The Paramount Studios is located at 5555 Melrose Avenue. Their address is a
an angel number.
And then the Hollywood Forever Cemetery is 6000 Santa Monica Boulevard, if you ever get the chance to visit. So kind of a funny full circle that Cassidy ended up finding the bust and was like, Yes. Well, I would too. I'd be like, oh my God, I have to have this. This is hysterical.
Yes.
And also interesting that what a legacy to leave behind, to have lived as a wealthy man and then pass and not have enough money in your estate to cover your funeral expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Jules Roth was quite the character. So yeah, that's some of the famous ghosts of the place we visited. It was really fun.
It was really fun.
We were also going to try to visit another haunted location, but it was a restaurant and they weren't open until dinner time and we were too starving. But
maybe that's an episode for another time.
It would have been a lot to do both, I think. We were already reeling from all the energy. But I think overall how I would summarize my experience is it was definitely heavy when we went into the old mausoleum, but I feel like it was just like peaceful and serene and sacred, and you felt so much love, and yeah, it was really special. And there was people painting, there was people reading books, people really go there and just spend time, people enjoy the energy of that place.
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very special. And obviously now I have like a family connection to it, which is so cool. And we just had the best time. It was our goddess field trip.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're already thinking about our next goddess field trip.
Yes.
There's so many fun things that we can do and then report back. So we have one more week of A Goddess Hangs Halloween. One more week.
What's it going to be? What are we going to wear? It's going to be very exciting. Ooh. We have a fun last episode planned.
You can probably guess, but it's going to be really fun, really educational, mm-hmm. really relevant. You're going to love it. And to a certain man named Kyle, who left many comments on our YouTube channel wanting to see a particular type of hat.
Kyle. I hope you're here and I hope you're listening, because
this
you're going
was
to be very excited.
Shout out, Kyle. Thank you for the 12 requests. So that'll be next week. And then we'll sort of get back to our regularly scheduled programming. Mm-hmm. We'll do more mindset, magic, manifestation, all that yummy stuff. But we had to do Halloween. We had to do Halloween. Come on.
You've been enjoying it as much as we have. Something exciting. This episode's coming out on Monday. And Juliet, something very exciting is launching to the public on Monday. Should we tell them?
Absolutely.
Crystal clear clarity. This is going to be a 2-day live event that you are all invited to.
All of you.
If you were able to come to our masterclass last week, which actually at the time of recording, we're about to host tonight.
And we're very excited.
We told you the number one secret to powerful manifesting is crystal clear clarity. And this is a 2-day event. We are going to get clear on your desires. We're going to create a roadmap to get you where you want to go. It's going to be so powerful, so fun. There's going to be us teaching you. We're going to be doing group meditation, a spell together. We're going to be going into intuition and how that plays a part in the clarity and creating your dream life. Anything else you want to say about that? We're so excited.
We know that there are so many of you out there listening who have such an interest. You've expressed such an interest in being in our world and working closer with us and being part of the magic. And we really thought long and hard about how do we create something at a price point that is more accessible, that gets you powerful, potent, like big magic over a short amount of time, and this is it. This is it. And then you can see how that goes. And then if you're like, oh my gosh, these 2 days were phenomenal, we can get you into the next round of Activate Your Magic, which starts in January. So it's just the perfect offering. We're so excited about it. It's going to be filled with breakthroughs and aha moments, and you're going to discover clarity in a way that maybe you haven't tried this approach or tried this method. You're going to see like, oh, you know, I could get clearer, because like we talk about in the masterclass, you know, clarity is everything. Clarity is, I think, the biggest troubleshooting thing that happens when we're dealing with manifestation. It's like, are you clear enough about what you want, and what does clarity really look like? What does that mean? And we're, you know, going to teach all about that, and we're so excited. So go to the show notes, the links in our bio. We have some spots remaining. We would love to have you join Crystal Clear Clarity. The event's going to take place November 7th and 9th in the evening. And even if you're like, oh no, I'm on vacation, but you really want to get the information, you can sign up and you can get access to the replays forever and ever and ever. So trust your intuition. Message us if you have any questions, but we feel like this is a no-brainer offer. It's the perfect way to dip your toes into our world in terms of the mentorship piece and close proximity, and it's going to be amazing. We're so excited.
We are experts on creating clarity for our clients. It's the number one thing I hear, regardless of what I've worked with in something, whether it's a reading or a full program or one-on-one coaching. Like, the number one feedback I get is, oh my God, the clarity is unreal. Absolutely. So it's our favorite thing to help provide for you. And it's the number one thing. Clarity is the thing that flipped the switch on what you see before you today, because we couldn't create this if we weren't clear on what we wanted to create, right?
100%.
So it's fucking powerful. We can't wait to share all about it in our 2-day event. We'll see you there. Make sure you're following us on social media at Goddess Hangs and at bizwitch.inc on both Instagram and TikTok. You can find me on Instagram at I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at juliet.piper.
Anything else?
No, it's just, what a great episode, and we will be back next week for our final Halloween 2022 episode.
And episode
99.
Wow. Ooh. All right, goddesses, we'll see you next week.
Bye.